Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Good evening, Live Paranormal listeners. You are listening to The Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal, the top social community of the paranormal world. And my name is Chad Cornell. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Doug Malinowski.
Yo, what's going on, world?
Hopefully everyone is having a good week leading up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, heck yeah. We're finally getting the Thanksgiving weather. You know, it's slushy rain and all the good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's way, buddy.
Unfortunately, man. Unfortunately. This is the time of year I wish I was living in Florida.
Florida. Warm.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, we don't have hurricanes down here, up here, so.
Exactly.
I'll take it. Occasional tornado once every, like, 20 years, but.
You know. two weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't too bad, so.
It's a very interesting dynamic tonight here on The Eerie Voice. As we sit here, we are sitting in the room with a Steelers fan and a Titans fan as they play on Thursday night.
I know, right? Go Tennessee, baby. Woo!
Guess you can tell who the Tennessee fan is.
Yeah, it's not Mr. Cornell, that's for damn sure.
That's okay. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it should be, man.
And we're going to have a great show tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah, we got Mr. Ray Gooseby.
Gooseby.
Sorry, I almost threw an R in there.
Yeah, as happens, we have a few too middle or... we'll say Coors Light tonight.
Yeah, Coors Light. Tonight's episode is brought to you by...
Coors Light.
Hey, I'd like to give a special shout-out to the crew of Resident Undead. You know, we got to meet up with them this past week.
See them in a shoot, which will come out at some point, probably early spring. I don't know exactly when he's got plans for that, but
yeah.
Good seeing him and sitting down and helping him out with their stuff. And hope everything's going well for Adam Kimmel and the rest of his MAD team over at Madison Seminary, because they've had some good news the past couple of days.
They've had some great news.
So they'll be opening them up for investigations, so that'll be great.
Yeah, so anybody in the Madison area, Erie area, anywhere around
the tri-state area,
man, hit them up. Check out the Madison Seminary. It's a great location, a lot of activity, and Adam's doing some good stuff with it.
Yeah, proud to be friends with him.
Yeah, heck yeah.
But other notes, we'll just say, we're excited for the tonight's show, and we'll bring on our guest here in a few minutes. But I think what we're going to do before we bring on Mr. Goose. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back after these, what do you call it, commercial break?
Yeah, our commercial break.
And then we'll be joined by our special guest for the evening, Mr. Ray Gooseby.
And go Tennessee.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of LiveParanormal.com.
All right, and we are back. Again, thank you for listening to the Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal. And we're going to go ahead and bring our special guest for the evening, Mr. Ray, the Goose. Gooseby, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good.
Keeping warm on your side? Well, you're in northern Ohio, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'm around the Akron area, just north of Akron here in Stowe. It's chilly. Wind's blowing a little bit. Raining nice. You know, typical Ohio gloomy weather for you on, you know, coming near Thanksgiving. So
it's November. We can expect that.
Yeah. I just wanted to add. I wanted to add real quick. I heard you guys. Your opening. Go Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Come on, you're from Ohio. You shouldn't be saying that.
Oh, I'm originally from the Pittsburgh area, so I have ties to the area. But
so we know he has the game on in the back.
Yeah.
Nice. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So how are things going for you? I know you're a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, actually we're kinda just winding down from you know, the Halloween season. Always seems to be the busy time of year for us ghost hunters. But you know, yeah, it's been busy coming off our MS fundraiser we had in August, and some work we've been doing with local historical societies, doing some ghost hunts and some fundraising for them, and just you know, just some good old investigating happening. So, but we're getting down a little bit here, and going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back at it in no time. We'll be busy again quick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, so Ray, so we know you have the Goose Project. What inspired you to start doing this fundraiser?
My mom actually has multiple sclerosis, and so it's taken a lot out of her. You know, she suffers a great deal from that. She's a warrior. She's fighting through it as she can. But you know, just with her having that, and seeing what she has to deal with on a daily basis, it's you know, as a son, you know, try to educate yourself on the disease, and you find out how, you know, many thousands upon thousands of Americans, you know, not even Americans, just worldwide, deal with this disease. So, you know, I figured, why not, you know, have a fundraiser, make something that we all love to do, something that's popular, and, you know, just raise a bunch of money and donate it to the cause, and see what we can do, even if it's a little bit, you know, see what we can do to help out. And, this last one was great. We raised, you know, $2,700 for the society, and it was a blast. We had a good time, and, you know, it was awesome. We did a great job.
Yeah, and what I love about it, I mean, this has been an ongoing thing for a couple of years now, and it seems like you always get great support from other local teams and societies and whatnot, and I love that aspect of it, that people can actually, you know, obviously, in the paranormal world, people have their differences and their different theories and thoughts, but I love how all those people can come together for a greater cause.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you're able to help.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, we all see the drama between teams and all that crap on Facebook and social media. And, you know, it's ridiculous, but, like, this one instance, it's like everybody just kind of puts that aside, and we all kind of just come out for a good cause, and, you know, everybody gets along, and, you know, everybody puts their differences aside, and we actually sit and learn from each other for a change, instead of, you know, you know, hey, I'm right, you're wrong type bullshit. And, you know, it all goes for a great cause.
Yeah. Well, I might get a little slack for saying this, but the people who argue among themselves and say their thing's better than the other people, they're not really in the field for the right reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. If you can't talk among other people, learn. That's if you can't talk about other people and learn from each other and grow together, then you're in the field for the wrong reasons. You're all about yourself and not about the actual research and the progression of the field.
Oh, definitely, to help make it grow.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, I agree 100% with you guys, and I feel you on that. And you know, a lot of people, you know, there's people that why don't more people take what we do seriously? Well, it's because of that kind of bullshit right there that we're talking about. It just, you know, it's the paranormal. It's everything outside what we know is normal. You know, don't tell me there's people that call themselves professionals or certified. I think I'm okay. I think I'm educated in it. By no means am I a professional. You know what I'm saying?
No.
People think they know.
Thing.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's ridiculous. And it is what it is. You know, honestly, I'll be straightforward with you guys. I do this because I think it's fun. I like the thrill of it. You know, but you know, through all that, I've learned to respect history on a different level than most people. You guys are probably there with me. You know, we learn all these great things by going to these historical locations, you know, like Madison Seminary, for instance, you guys were talking about. And, you know, we all just need to sit down and listen and just learn from each other. And, you know, just screw the rest of it. Nobody knows anything. And that's about it. I mean, we're all in this for the same reason. We believe in there's something there after life, and we've all been affected by it some way.
Yeah, like I said, no one can call themselves professional. Now, if somebody says they're experienced and have numerous years of experience, I'll agree with that. That's totally different than being a professional. You can have all the experience in the world, but doesn't mean you're a pro, because, you know, it's an ever-evolving field that's constantly growing, and people are learning new aspects of it. It's building upon itself, so you can't call yourself
absolutely
a professional, because professional means you actually know everything that you should know about the field, and you don't.
Right, right. You know, you can't be a professional in something that's not there's not really a way to prove by any kind of scientific method. I mean, you can try, and we all try to do our best to, you know, cross-check ourselves when we're doing our work and in the field, and you know, but seriously, when you think about the bare bones of it, I mean, honestly, we're walking around in the dark asking questions. No way to be professional.
But it's nice to know there are teams out there that are donating their time, trying to do the fundraisers, trying to bring awareness to certain diseases or causes. You know, like 6 years ago when I got into the field, honestly, I just want to see the things that go bump in the night. That's what I got into it for. I wanted to see what the hell is out there. And in the last 6 years, you know, I learned so much, you know, met a large amount of tongue-tied. But I got to meet a lot of great people. I got to learn about a lot of great causes. And it's stuff you don't think of. You know, you think of paranormal, like, ooh, as you said earlier, you just walk around in the dark. But there's so many more layers to it, and it's great to see these causes out there, because it brings more awareness to, you know, hey, we're not just out here to try to stir up spirits. We're out here to try to help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And, you know, that's kind of the generation of the, you know, the TV watchers and, excuse me. Sorry, I keep clearing my throat there, guys. I'm not saying anything bad about the TV shows. We all friends that, you know, film stuff, nothing but love for all of them. But, you know, that's what people see, and people don't understand, you know, what we really do, especially with these fundraisers. I mean, I try to always be involved in the historical societies that we work for as a member, you know, functioning outside of the paranormal and actually doing work that's not paranormal related, but actually helping these historical societies, you know, and, you know, the benefit of that is being able to bring in the paranormal aspect and use the popularity of that and, you know, and raise funds that way. And, you know, places like Madison Seminary, the Shalersville Historical Society Museum, where we've been doing a lot of work as a team with Dark Valley, where I'm also a member, you know, it's like we walk into these basically living history books. And,
yeah,
you know, people think that we're just there, you know, just like you said, to just sit there and listen for what goes bump in the night and stir up stuff. We're trying to learn. We're trying to connect, actually connect with the past. You know, there's that connection there. And, you know, it's that's what the end game. It's all become for me, my team, and the people that I, you know, work with close in the field. And it's awesome that we can raise money and continue to help restore these places or, you know, preserve them. You know, same thing Adam Kimmel's doing with Madison Seminary. That place, I've been in love with that place, you know, 10 years ago when I first walked into it as a newbie paranormal investigator. You know, we had fundraisers there. And I have to say, you know, seeing what happened to that place with the previous owners, how it kept falling into more and more disrepair. I've had fundraisers, you know, ghost hunting fundraisers for them. The money was going nowhere. And now it's like Adam's there and you see like how much he's already done. And now it's like finally, you know, I feel kind of validated that we, you know, at least the building's still standing and now it's finally getting to where it needs to be. But, you know, like you said, with the fundraiser and everything, it's a good feeling for us as a group, but you know, it's a good way to also educate people, you know, on what we are really about and not what they see on TV.
Yeah, but, definitely.
Now, it's funny you bring up Kimmel because he's our rival guest right now. As we've learned, he's doing it on our show right this week. He can suck it right now. I'm just kidding. But
I feel the rift, the rift and the upside down ripping open as we're both talking at the same time.
Well, it was funny because we were talking about you this weekend, just talking stories about different locations, and we were having a conversation about when they went and shot in Cleveland at the House of Wills.
Oh yeah.
We heard some funny stories about you.
Oh, yeah, something involving a firearm and quivering in the dark. He's screaming to. you know, it's always. House of Wolves is definitely one of those places you want to be creeping around at night with something on you, you know, for protection. But, you know, when you hear something, you know, crash at the end of the hallway and it sounds like it's a living person, you know, shit gets real, real quick. And you guys know how Kimmel operates. He's yelling and screaming and telling them I'm pretty much going to unload if they pop their faces around the corner. I'm like, oh no.
Like you.
Yeah. It was an interesting night though. I mean, I've been in that building several times, you know, at night by myself with you know, nothing, but it was definitely an interesting night. It's like, I don't know, it was like negative 15 degrees out. We were all freezing our asses off. And I don't know what other kind of stories he told you.
Well, I think some of them probably aren't good for air, but.
True.
I just kidding. But I guess we should probably start into how did you actually get into the field and get involved in the paranormal?
I mean, you know, it sounds like the old cliche for us guys in this, but I kind of grew up in a house where there was some stuff going on I couldn't explain. And, you know, it was bad enough where it was affecting both me and my younger brother. We're 5 years apart, but, you know, I would wake up in the middle of the night hearing something going on and, you know, already be freaked out. And I'd step out, you know, from my bed and my brother was camped out on the floor, kind of half hanging out from underneath my bed, which, you know, kind of edged me over that, the top there a little bit with the frightened sense I was going through. But, you know, we grew up in this house and, you know, found out a couple years after we moved in that the children, or well, they were like teenagers when they passed away, they were killed in a car accident. And, so there's a lot of stuff, you know, just experiences we were having there. Kind of that sense, you know, there's always somebody like following you around or standing, you know, a couple feet away looking at you. You know, we'd hear stuff, you know, voices when we knew everybody was in bed. I mean, you know, the typical haunting stories of a house. But it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, I grew up in at least, you know, first 10 years of my life, we were a pretty religious family. And kind of one of those more radical Christian upbringings, I guess you could say. And, you know, they didn't believe in ghosts. It was either the devil's work or you were just going insane. So, you know, my brother and I were kind of scared really to bring it up with my parents because we didn't know how they would react. So we kind of both just kind of started researching by ourselves. And I kind of took it a little bit farther than my brother. You know, he just kind of lost interest with it, but it's something that stuck with me, you know, and I was reading Hans Holzer books and all kinds of, you know, other authors, Lloyd Auerbach, you know, a lot of other authors in the field, and just learning, you know, different theories and different investigation methods. And finally, if many, many years later, I finally actually got into active investigating with the group, and it, you know, the journey has kind of has been from there. You know, I started in this with a pretty bad agenda of just debunking everything. I don't know why I got into that. I think I was watching some of the shows that were popular on cable television at the time and kind of seeing how they do things and kind of calling bullshit on a lot of the stuff they were doing. And so, you know, it became, you know, had this agenda to debunk everything, but that got old real quick, and you kind of corner yourself and not allow yourself to be more open-minded and, you know, experiment with different pieces of equipment and different methods and, you know, closing yourself off, you know, more from that spiritual connection aspect. So, you know, we had some quarrels with the first group that I was with, and then we joined Dark Alley, whose main group is down in Columbus. They allowed us to form the Northeast Ohio chapter, and it's been awesome. We kind of made this journey, and now we're having fun with it. You know, we're open-minded. We all kind of do our own things with other groups if we want to. You know, there's no drama, and it's just, you know, that's where we're at now. And we love the kind of off-the-beaten-path historical locations, not necessarily your Trans-Alleghenies or Moundsville, which are cool. I mean, I'm not saying those aren't, like, awesome to go to. But we like, you know, these little historical societies and older buildings that towns own that nobody really knows. And, you know, we volunteer our time to help them out. And in return, we don't ask for any money. They let us, you know, in there to do our own investigation work. And, you know, we share that with other people who are interested. So, short story long, that's how I got into it.
Cool. Nice. So what drives you towards the whole historical part of the paranormal? What got you into wanting to help preserve and bring forth the information on, you know, the historical side?
Because I think we live in an age where history is kind of, the importance of our history is dwindling and you know, falling away from us. You know, the past is there for us to learn from and to learn from our mistakes, to learn what we did right and how to continue that and how to continue on those paths. But, you know, everybody needs to know where they came from, like your community. If you're involved in a community, no, people are losing that sense of community too. I mean, and that's, you know, I work this current historical society. That's in the town that I grew up in. That's the town where all this started happening for me with the paranormal. You know, I grew up in that area and went to school in that area. And, you know, history is just, I mean, general history has always been a passion, but, you know, I really feel like we need to preserve that. And it's just, because if we don't, then our past is gone. It's gone, and we lose a part of ourselves, I think, if that disappears. So I think it's important for us to preserve that, because that is, that's not just the town's history, that's our history.
Yep.
Totally agree. Well, I'll have to get you up into our neck of the woods. There's a few places up here you think you would enjoy.
Oh, absolutely, man. We're definitely open. Definitely down for some new locations, man. The fundraisers are great, but, you know, the fundraisers are great, and we love doing them, but we're missing some, you know, just getting out there and investigating and doing our work. So we're always around. We'll definitely take you up on whatever you guys have to offer. Just let us know. We're there.
Absolutely, yeah. You can ask Kimmel. He's now saying I'm batting 1,000 for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Two for two for him. Yeah, two for two. He's shot two locations I've recommended.
I don't know how I'm doing with him because we all know how the House of Wills ended. And he ended up buying the second place that I was in love with. So I guess I'm one for two.
Well, I think you might have one up me there because he actually bought a location that you recommended. So, you know.
Yeah.
Show
well,
up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm one for two.
Show up.
They got this shit scared out of them at the one place and they ended up buying the other place. So.
Adam's invited me over a few times. I just haven't had the opportunity to go visit the new Madison Seminary since he's redone it. But I'm extremely excited to see the difference. I mean, I've seen pictures and some video tours and whatnot, but I was there before he even took over as buying it. Like, we were there probably three times before Adam bought it. And, I'm excited to see the difference.
I'm excited to see the naughty nurse on the third.
Don't talk about Rebecca that way.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rebecca.
I just want to naughty nurse again.
Yeah. Nice. She didn't like you very much, Doug.
Hey, she didn't mess with me, though, either.
Yeah, she messed with me.
Heck yeah. Anytime you walk into a location and they say, whoever stirs up the most shit is left alone, you better believe I'm the one stirring it up.
Nice.
We had experience with the top floor Madison back in where, they call it like the insane asylum area, if you want to call it that, but. Well, anyways, talking about in one nurse up there was kind of nasty when Doug started calling her out that night because he wasn't having much happen at that point. And literally there's four or five of us standing around just on the hallways come together and we're talking.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I have a little tiny flashlight in my pocket. It's like a 2-inch flashlight in my back pocket. It got taken out of my back pocket and thrown 20 feet down the hallway as we're talking facing each other.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. That floor is no joke, man. I've had my pretty crazy experience up there myself. It was actually during one of our first fundraisers there. I was standing on the top floor, and, you know, again, it's early on in my so-called quote-unquote ghost hunting career. And, you know, things were a little bit quiet, and I was getting nervous because there were other people there that weren't with our group that paid to be there, you know. And you think you gotta like be on spot and be performing for these people, having like these crazy interactions with the spirits there. But like I said, it's early on, so you know, like an idiot, you know, we all know don't provoke, right? Well, what do? I start provoking. I'm walking up and down the hallway because we all know that the nurses there weren't the nicest. So I'm like acting like the male nurse on everybody, you know, it's lights out, yada, yada, yada. Then I start, you know, getting a little bit more verbally violent, you know, dropping some F-bombs here and there. And I guess before I knew it, man, I was being dragged out into the hallway where the steps are. And, you know, people are shaking me like, dude, what's going on? What happened to you? You just lost your mind. What's going on? So I guess at some point, you know, I don't want to say I was possessed because that's ridiculous. To me, that's kind of ridiculous, but at some point I went out of my own mind and that negative energy out there kind of absorbed into my actions. Cause I guess being provoking like that kind of opened me up to that negative energy kind of absorbing into me. Cause at some point I started turning that verbal violence onto my co-investigators and the people there. I started yelling at them, and I don't remember any of this. I started yelling at them, and then I actually physically threw a punch at one of my co-investigators. Like, I was so mad.
Wow.
But I, at, I had blacked out for this whole thing. And then before I knew it, they're all like trying to, you know, snap me out of it in the hallway. Most amazing, but probably the most frightening experience I've ever had anywhere, you know, investigating. And it happened right there in the attic at Madison. It was crazy, man. I mean, you know, like I said, I don't like tossing the word possessed around. I think what I was doing, you know, I was provoking and I was opening that kind of, that negative energy. And it just, and it, you know what I mean? You kind of get what I'm saying there. But it was, yeah.
I totally get it. I mean, we didn't have it to that extent, but it was kind of interesting. There's a location that we love going to. We've been there a dozen times, doing different things. Never had anything negative there, but this last time we were, well, second to last time we were there as a team, doing an investigation, it almost like things started happening. We kind of started going at each other, just yelling and arguing. And you know our team, we don't do that. We have a good time, hang out. Literally, they were like verbal abuse of back and forth. And what the hell?
I was tired of you. Fuck. I know.
We had
to, you guys,
we had to snap out because they were just go. It was crazy. I've never had to ever. And like we kind of snap out of it. And we're like, what the hell is going on? It was ridiculous. But I totally get what you're talking about. Well, obviously, ours to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm ready to throw on you, man. But...
Can you reach that high?
Yeah.
Oh, typical Steelers fan. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was probably my top. Definitely my top experience I've had thus far, and hopefully I've never had an experience like that again. And I know my co-investigators are hoping that never happens again. But the crazy business we're in.
What's amazing to me is we've personally have never met, but it's amazing how many mutual friends we have. And I feel like I've seen you in passing at some point in time.
Probably have.
But it's amazing there's those people out there that you don't really get the opportunity to see too often or even get the opportunity to meet. And I hope sometime to meet you and work with you because I know you've worked with so many, you know, close friends of ours, our teams, on numerous things. I know you've I mean, obviously with Kimmel and I think you've done stuff with the Tri-C guys, I believe. I could be mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm always hanging with the Tri-C guys. I do whatever I can with Resident Undead, you know, when the opportunity's there. And, I mean, I think I may have seen you guys at a SuperCon in Erie, like, a couple years ago. It was just
Small
we've
been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just me and my co-investigator with a small table. We were working for the Barberton Historical Society at the time, kind of doing some ghost hunts for Anna Dean Farm down there. We were doing a little PR for that. And I think at the time I was doing a radio show for Live Paranormal myself, which was, you know, one of those things I wanted to try. It was short-lived because I couldn't really put the time into it that I wanted to. You know, and I'm a perfectionist, so if I can't do it right, I don't want to do it at all type of thing. But, yeah, I mean... Our circle is there. We got a great circle of friends, and I definitely, you guys are, you know, one of the groups I'd like to finally get to meet and do our thing together. You know, have a little investigation.
Absolutely,
oh, heck yeah!
Now, talk about Tri-C. You gotta watch out for that Todd guy. He's a little crazy.
Yeah, he's
totally
crazy. Sorry,
Todd's the lad is nuts.
Well,
Todd's
I always
a good guy.
Todd's a great guy. I always pick on him because we did a little thing together over at Mansfield Reformatory, and we ended up sharing a Motel 6 together.
Motel.
And I don't remember much from that night. I'm wondering why. I don't know why that's the case, but I woke up with a really bad headache. And reason, I was missing my shorts.
Oh, Jesus. And from that night on, Chad has to sleep with the lights on.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, so, Ray, out of all the investigations that you have done with the which one's your most memorable for a good cause or a good reason, not...
Yeah.
Like, what investigation have you done that you walked out like, wow, I am truly blessed to be in this field.
Dude, it would have to be the Goose Project, the MS fundraiser. I mean, from the first one I had in 2013 to the turnout I had when I just broadcasted myself doing a solo investigation, you know, and I had like a GoFundMe account and people, I mean, I raised over $2,000 that time. And then this one down at the Bell Nursing Home, which is, if you guys have never checked that place out, you got to check it out. The place is crazy. You know, when I had that down there, it just, the outpouring of people, I mean, people came from so far, like, you know, out into the middle of nowhere because it's in New Kimbolton, Ohio, and it's in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And, you know, people came out, I just, you know, people from Indiana, people from New York, from Pennsylvania, all over Ohio. We had some people from West Virginia. Adam Bonnet came up from West Virginia. I mean, I was on cloud nine. I mean, I was tired. I was stressed out because, you know, guys, when you're running one of these events, you just want everything to be perfect. But I walked out of there feeling like rejuvenated and, like you said, blessed. And, like, I, you know, all these people have this common interest, and we did such a big thing, and it felt so great. And, you know, I could tell you about a million investigations that I went on and all the great experiences and the crazy stories, but, you know, having the Goose Project, the MS fundraiser, to me, I mean, that's what this has all become about now. And I love doing it, and I'm already planning next year, man. So hopefully you guys can get involved next year and, you know, onward and upward with that. But like,
you can guarantee it.
Absolutely. I hope so. I'll keep you guys on it.
Absolutely. We love doing that stuff, and we put on different fundraisers ourselves. So we love giving back.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost become a mandatory thing for our members to do, but obviously sometimes it can be tough because we have a lot of members that have family and jobs that keep them kind of busy too, but we always try to make it a point. And we usually get most of the members available, and we do fun things to raise money for different places too. So we'll totally get that stress out level and try and make things perfect.
But luckily, I know for us, every time we've done any kind of fundraiser, we've always had something happen where the people left truly amazed. It's awesome to be able to look, to go out and do what you enjoy doing and see somebody with fresh eyes and just see the excitement on their face when you catch what might be a possible EVP or, you know, the light, the fan starts spinning, something that we take for granted now. For somebody fresh to see it, it's awesome. It's a good feeling.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now,
totally agree with you guys.
Now, besides, obviously, you've got your great little project there with the Goose Project, and then obviously keeping yourself busy with so many other aspects. Are you doing other little side things, a little filming and like that going on for yourself as we speak?
Nothing concrete. I do a little lecture, you know, a couple times a year, just locally around the Ohio area. Kent Stage here in Ohio, like right next door to me, the Kent Stage has, you know, Paranormal Weekends, which is always a big thing in April. Like, they have, it's just basically a paranormal convention. They have, you know, crypto speakers. They got paranormal speakers. I've been involved with that for like the last 3 years, and it's awesome. I meet a lot of great people doing it. So I'm working on a lecture, but I'm taking a different angle with it this time. And there's going to be some filming involved. I'm going to film an intro for it. And it's actually, it's something I'm working on. But it's more of a comic stand-up routine about the paranormal. I know it sounds, like, strange, but, you know, I witness all the silliness in the field. And, you know, as a speaker, I do much better when I'm interacting with an audience instead of standing up there with a PowerPoint. You guys know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, I go out there and I crack a few jokes and I talk about some silly stuff that people do, and I get out there in the audience and interact. I do much better. Like, I'm always great with, like, sitting up in front of a group and doing like the panel discussions where they just ask me a question and I go off, you know, on a rant for a minute. So I'm working on something like that. I'm going to do like kind of a funny little thing in front of it. But, you know, I'm always open for people. You know, people ask me all the time, you know, if I want to come hang out while they're filming and, you know, be a co-investigator. So we'll see what happens. You know, nothing solid, like I said, but, you know, some plans definitely in the works for a little bit of a project. Get my little Ghost in with the Goose lecture going and, you know, hopefully entertain some people and educate them at the same time, you know, about, you know, if anything else, what not to do while you're investigating, you know what I mean? But, we'll see where it rolls, man. We'll roll the dice and see what happens, you know?
How to load a sidearm correctly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's dust. Oh, it's dust, guys. It's dust.
What have you got? Yeah. Any kind of? I know you said you're in the back end, kind of slowing down for the year. But do you got any kind of upcoming investigation plans in the near future at all, location wise?
You know, we're working on. We're always, you know, doing, you know, Shalersville investigation. You know, where I'm a member every once in a while. Just call up the president and like, listen, we have the house for the night and homie us out there. And, you know, that's always a good night. You know, we're trying to get down to the Bell Nursing Home again. I've been down there so many times for these events that I have. I've never actually gone down there with just my group and investigated. We've never just experienced it as a group. So we'll probably go. I'm talking with Natalie Dickendasher, the owner. We're going to go down there and check it out. You know, we're just, I think I'm going to Mansfield in December with a group of people, not necessarily my group, but I was invited to tag along with some other people. You know, you got to love Mansfield. You know, it's always crazy in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll make my way. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be back up at the House of Wills, you know, once, if not twice, before the end of the year. You know, so we got some things going on. And you guys, you know, like I said, you guys have any ideas, give us a holler. We'll pretty much meet you up anywhere.
Next time you're at House of Wills, let us know. I'd love to investigate that location.
Oh, heck yeah, man. That's no problem at all. I'll let you guys know. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Bezel.
You know, the owner is a great guy. Eric's a good guy. He's a little bit on the different side if you don't understand him, but, you know, it's his personality. He's
been in the news lately.
He's a good
last week.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. There's a gentleman in the community that posted a video about Eric and the House of Wills and calling him out as a Satan worshiper and all this and that and, you know, talking about how him and what he believes in is actually causing the crumble of the neighborhood, which, I mean, you guys know is total BS.
That neighborhood was crumbling well before Eric got involved. You know, he took a piece of history and he, unlike the neighborhood, he's trying to preserve a piece of history instead of destroy it.
And it's not even his history. It's just Cleveland history. It's that community history, and they've done nothing about it. But the minute somebody comes in there with a different belief system, they're going to start blaming him for everything. It's just, you know, it's a typical human condition bullshit, you know, always point your finger at somebody else. Well, and you know, the problem started with them in the first place. And now somebody who's different from them is in there trying to do good work and he's getting blasted for it. It's just, it's ridiculous. And Eric has a big heart, man. His heart is all into the House of Wills and getting it back to what it should be. And hopefully he wants to help the community with it. He wants it to be a community center. You know, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, I think he's extremely misunderstood just because of his interests, other beliefs and whatnot. And it's taken to a different, we actually brought him on and had a really in-depth interview and it was great. Got to learn so many aspects of what he believes in and his background or whatnot. And it made me, like, I didn't, it opened up my eyes to a whole different thing. Like, you know, he's genuinely a great guy And absolutely. People take or take taking sound like they're taking things to a whole different level than whatever it should go.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there of all the property owners I've dealt with, you know, besides Adam of course and some other people, but he's been one of the most generous and who, Adam?
Yeah.
he's a bit of a prima donna, you know, but
yeah.
No, Adam's a good guy. We love him to death. But yeah, no, Eric's great, man, and he doesn't deserve what he's the kind of the BS that's fallen on him right now. And I hope we can all help out and stand up for him if it has to come to that. But it sounds like he's talking it out with the guy who posted the original video. So, you know, fingers crossed it doesn't get, you know, dirty.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We'll have to get all of us together and Kimmel as well. Like I said, you put our last names together, we sound like a freaking law firm.
Yeah, right. Cornell, Kimmel, and Goosby.
Oh, God. Oh, lawyers of ghosts.
Lawyers
of ghosts. Yeah, right.
Now, that
after you're dead, do you need reference? Yeah, right. Yeah, ghost lawyers.
Law and paranormal.
Yeah, right.
We're putting trademarks on everything tonight, so don't nobody get any of our listeners.
Yeah, patent pending.
Yeah, patent pending.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Awesome.
Oh, Lord. Well, I just realized we're getting closer to the time frame here, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of drop any kind of websites like for your the Goose project, anything with your team,
sure.
And that kind of projects. Kind of give you an opportunity to kind of put out your social media information where people can contact you.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Got a few of them. If you're looking, you know, if anybody needs help with their home or, you know, looking for people to come out and investigate your building or location, I work with Dark Alley Paranormal. Our website's www.neo.darkalleyparanormal.com. You can find us there. We got all kinds of links to emails and stuff. You can get a hold of us. The Goose Project, there is a, I have a Facebook page. It's the Goose Project MS fundraiser. You can follow me there, thegooseproject.com online. The information on there is for the event that happened in August. So as you know, as I'm planning next year, you know, that'll slowly get updated. So keep an eye on that. Ghosting with the Goose, my lecture series and my old show. But you know, I still run that as my page. You know, if you're interested in the paranormal, you want to rant about something, it's kind of an open forum for everybody just to talk about whatever they want to. Come on the page, follow it, you know, rant away, ask questions, you know. It's a cool little place that everybody can just ask questions and learn from each other. That's kind of the whole basis of that Facebook page. Goose Gooseby on Facebook, that's just my regular everyday page. You guys can follow that. And I think that's it. I'm on Twitter, but I'm never actually using it, so I won't even bother with that one. But, yeah, follow me. There
you go. Tweetless Twitter.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I think I covered everything.
All right. And they can't actually watch out because I know you do a lot of do-do. I said do-do. You do a lot of live streams on Facebook. I do see that a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Keep an eye out for that. We did a little bit of a Phasma Box session the other night from Chalersville, and we're getting some interesting stuff. But, yeah, keep an eye out for that and follow along. We like sharing what we do.
Awesome. Well, buddy, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. We'll definitely have you on again and catch up. And obviously, as
absolutely.
The weather gets a little warmer, we can talk a little more and about
absolutely.
Some locations and talk about the upcoming Goose project, the upcoming year, and kind of go from there.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate you having me on. It was a blast.
Hey, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, have a good holiday, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
Hey, you too. Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our special guest for evening, Mr. Ray Gooseby.
And we want to thank him for taking his time to come on the show on this very special night of Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. Go Tennessee. Oh, I forgot to tell that. That's right, man.
Well,
Tennessee.
Here's the first time.
Yeah.
But until the next show, I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll see you after that. And until then.
Hey, take it easy, y'all. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.